Nick Fiamentero, speaker, Brother Greg Stryver, sermon title, Three Little Birds. Scripture is Philippians 4, verse 11 through 13. Scripture reader, Roy Darnell, presiding at the Lord's table, Nick Fiamentero and Wiley Edwards. Closing prayer, Brother Greg Newton. Our first song today is going to be number 635. 635 is our first song. Would you bow with me for a word of prayer? Father, we're thankful for this day. We're thankful for every opportunity that we have to serve thee. We ask thy blessings, Father, upon all who are here and upon those who had a desire to be here today but were unable. Be with us now, Father, in this service unto thee, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Let's do the first, third, and fourth verse. 1, 3, and 4.
Tempted and tried, we're all faced wonder why it should be thus all the day long. While there are others living about us, nevertheless, if the winds are wrong, farther along we'll know all about it. Farther along we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. Faithful till death, said our lovely master. A few more days to labor and wait. Toils of the road will then seem as nothing as we sweep through the beautiful gate. Farther along we'll know all about it. Farther along we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. When we see Jesus coming in glory, when he comes from his home in the sky, then we shall meet him in that mansion. We'll understand it all by and by. Farther along we'll know all about it. Farther along we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. Farther along we'll know all about it. Farther along we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by.
For our prayer, let's turn to 638. 638, let's do the first, second, and fourth verses of this. 1, 2, and 4.
Blessed be the time that finds our hearts in Christian love, the fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. Before our Father's throne, we pour our hearts in prayer, our fears, our hope, our aims, our wants, our comfort, and our care. When we asunder part, it is a silver thing, but we shall still be joined in heart, and hope to meet again.
Would you bow with me in prayer? Our Almighty, our All-Powerful, our All-Knowing Father God in heaven, our Lord, we so humbly bow before your mighty throne, Father. Lord, at this time, we're just so thankful that you've blessed each and every one of us here, Lord, with another day of life, Father, and the health and the strength and the wherewithal that we can rise up out of our beds on the first day of a new week, Lord, and we can openly assemble together and worship thee in spirit and in truth here this morning, Lord. Our Father, we're so thankful for our body of Christ here at Cross Street. Lord, we just ask that you continue to bless our elders, our deacon, all those that help to teach and preach, Lord. We know, Father, that it takes all the members of the body working together to have a fully functioning unit, Father. And we just pray that you continue to bless our body of Christ here at Cross Street. Father, we also ask, Lord, that you bless our brother Shriver as he's going to stand before us in a few moments and bring us another portion of thy word, Father. We pray, Lord, that you bless him with a good remembrance of those things that he's studied and prepared to talk to us through, Father, and that he might deliver thy word in such a way, Lord, that if there be those in the audience that are subject to thy invitation anyway, Father, whatever their needs might be, that you might bless them with the courage to come forward and make those needs known, Father, as your grace and mercy is extended to them. Our Lord, we're also mindful, Father, of all those that were mentioned as being sick, Father, all those that we have listed on our sick and prayer list, Father. We know, Lord, that you know all their needs, Father, and how each one stands in need, Father. And we just pray that you continue to wrap your arms around each and every one of these folks, Father. Bless them. Bless those that render care unto them, Father. And that if it would be your will, you might grant unto them the things that they need to be restored to their normal health and strength. Our Father, we're also thankful for all the many, many blessings of life that you've richly bestowed upon each and every one of us, Father. They're too numerous to count, Lord. They're like trying to count the grains of sand along the shore, Father. But we know that all these things come from thee, Father, and we're so thankful unto thee for them. Our Father, we're most thankful for thy Son and our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus, Father. We're thankful for his willingness to come down to earth, Father, to live the perfect life that he led, all the teachings that he did, the miracles he performed, Father, but most importantly, his willingness to go to the cross, Father, to willingly give up his life for us, Father, for the very people that were crucifying him. We pray, Father, that as we go about our lives, that our deeds and actions and words, all the things we do, would be a direct reflection of our thankfulness for Christ and for your tremendous love and grace and mercy in sending him down to this earth for us, Lord. Father, as we continue in our worship this morning, Lord, we just pray that you'd continue to watch over and guide each and every one of us, Father, that you'd forgive us of those sins and shortcomings in those areas that we might have fallen short, Father, as we repent and turn away from those things. We just pray, Father, that all of our acts of worship unto thee this morning would be most pleasing and acceptable unto thee, Father, and that all might be conducted decent and in order. And we just pray that you continue to be with us throughout our further worship, Father. And we ask these and all things, Lord, in the name of thy Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.
Before partaking of the communion service, let's sing 641. Again, we're singing the first, second, fourth verse.
The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. She is his new creation by water and the word. From heaven he came and saw her to be his holy bride. With his own blood he bought her, and for her life he died. He led from every nation, yet won o'er all the earth. Her charter of salvation, one Lord, one faith, one birth, one holy name she blesses, partakes one holy food, and to one hope she presses with every grace endued. So with a scornful wonder we see her sorrow press, her doctrine met asunder by means and grief distress. Yet saints their watch are keeping, they cry how long, how long, and soon the night of weeping shall be the horn of song.
In James chapter 1, verses 17, the Bible reads that all good gifts and all perfect gifts comes from above. Christ Jesus was our perfect gift. His crucifixion on the cross was the perfect sacrifice. He came to earth and he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Before us, we have two emblems. We have the bread that represents his body that was crucified on the cross of Calvary. And we have the cup as the fruit of the vine that was shed for many for the remission of sin. At this time, we now have the privilege and the honor to give thanks for the bread. O kind and merciful Father, we are so humble and so thankful this morning that we all came together to remember our Lord and our Savior, to remember him and what he did for each and every one of us. While we all were still sinners, he went to the cross and he died for the remission of our sins. We are grateful and thankful to partake of this bread in his memory. For it is in Jesus' name we give you all praise, honor, and glory. Amen.
Let's continue in our thanks for the cup. Our Father God in heaven, our Lord, we so humbly bow before thy mighty throne, Father. Lord, at this time we're ever mindful and thankful for thy Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Father, for his willingness to go to the cross, Father, to give up his life, the shedding of his blood, Father, on that cross, the blood which cleanses us from all unrighteousness, Father, if we obey thy gospel. Our Father, we're just so thankful for Christ Jesus, thankful for this fruit of the vine, this cup which represents his shed blood, Father. Lord, as we partake of this cup, we just pray, Father, that we partake of it in a way, in a manner that's pleasing and acceptable unto thee, Father, and that we reflect back on the cross, Father, reflect back on Christ, Lord. We ask these things in the name of thy Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.
If anyone was overlooked upon serving the Lord's Supper, please signal by raising your hand and you will be served. At this time, we have another reverence unto God, another commandment, another Christian duty, and that is to be prepared to lay by in store as he has commanded us to do so, and be prepared to give back unto him the first fruits of thy labor. At this time, we now have the privilege to do so. Let us give thanks. Lord, we thank you that you've been so merciful on each and every soul, enabling each and every one of us and all of mankind to be able to take care of all of our needs and all of the abilities that we have. And we thank you, Father, for the strength that we possess, enabling us, Lord, to go out into the world and take care of our families. And at this time, Father, we're so grateful, we're so thankful, and we're so honored to be able to give back in support of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is in his name we give you all praise, honor, and glory. Amen.
song of invitation will be number 663 after the lesson this morning. Then before the lesson in our scripture reading, let's sing number 647. You can easily stand. Please stand as we sing this hymn.
In his time, he makes all things beautiful. In his time, Lord, please show me every day, as you're teaching me your way, that you do just what you say. In your time, you make all things beautiful. In your time, Lord, my life to you I bring. May each song I have to sing be to you a lovely thing. In your time, in his time, in his time, he makes all things beautiful. In his time, Lord, please show me every day, as you're teaching me your way, that you do just what you say. In your time.
This morning's sermon is titled Three Little Birds. The scripture reading comes from the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. I'll be reading from the King James Version. Now that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Now, Brother Greg.
Morning, church. Would like to welcome any all guests we have here at the congregation this morning. We are welcome to have you and stick around at the end, and we'll have a meet and greet if we can. So I'd like to thank the congregation. I'd like to thank the leadership for allowing me to speak up here this morning. It's always an honor to come up here. And as I said before, when I do these, it's something I get a lot out of, because I have to study. I have to dig deep to try to understand some of what I'm speaking about and make sure that I'm not off topic or not off scripture. So it's always a good experience for me as well. So the title of the morning sermon is called Three Little Birds. I know many of you are probably familiar with the song from Bob Marley called Three Little Birds. That was the inspiration for the title. I'm not going to sing the song for you, but for those of you who don't know, the chorus goes, don't worry about a thing, because every little thing is going to be all right. I chose that song and that title because my mom passed away a couple months ago. We had a service about a month ago down in Georgia, and it was in the it was a pretty small ceremony in the chapel there, and they had music playing, and one of the songs I had picked was that song as a closing song when we exited the ceremony. But it wasn't the Bob Marley version that I played. I had them play a slower, kind of a folksy version. It was just a little more mellow for the time, but it was still fitting given the circumstances. My mom had just passed. I didn't want it to be a mournful. I didn't want a lot of tears and sobbing. I just wanted it to be something where we remembered her, but with joy and happiness. And for those of you who don't know the song, it's just a beautiful song. Very short, very simple. And it's just about, you know, literally, don't worry. Things are going to be okay. So we know the world's a mess. Seems to be getting worse every day. And I'd be lying to you if I said none of this had an impact on me, mentally, physically, or most importantly, spiritually. I'm often at a loss for words when I listen or hear the news. And to add this to life's other problems, you have a perfect recipe for anxiety. Anxiety disorders are actually a type of mental health condition, and it can make it difficult to get through your day or your night. Symptoms can go and range from anywhere to feeling nervous, restless, having a sense of impending danger or doom, increased heart rate, hyperventilation, sweating, trembling, feeling weak or tired, having trouble sleeping. There are ways to reduce anxiety that don't involve medication. In addition to consulting with God, always consult with your healthcare provider if you're not able to control your own worries on a day-to-day basis. Sometimes just talking to a neutral party about your problems can make things better. And I don't mean going to your local watering hole and drinking a lot of alcohol and telling the bartender about your problems. That's so we've seen it on TV shows and movies, but you can talk to anyone. You know, if you have any kind of burden or problem, talk to people. But what causes anxiety? What are the causes of it? So any number of things can cause anxiety. Stress from being exhausted mentally or physically, unexpected changes in your day-to-day routine, pressure at work or school, emotional abuse, physical abuse, racism, money problems, housing problems, health problems, natural disasters, bereavement, loneliness, and the list goes on. So how does this happen to us? How do we get through this? Well, human thinking and logic produces doubt. And that seed of doubt produces fear, and that fear produces anxiety. So that's our psychology lesson for today. We're gonna go on. But I wanted to give you an introduction as to what we're talking about, and it's anxiety, or it's about worry. So good news, this is our starting point. If you have a phone with a Bible app on it, you can use that as well. You can even listen to your Bible while you're driving, while you're at home, while you're trying to get to sleep. It can be very helpful. So pick it up whenever you can, read it whenever you can. When worry comes, we need to ask ourselves why. As Christians, we should never waste our time with anxiety or worry, because that mindset is in direct conflict with the teachings of Jesus. From his teachings and words, we're reminded in many different ways we're not to worry, but we worry about things that have already happened. We worry about things that will likely happen, and we worry about things that will likely never happen. When we worry, we tend to feel out of control, and it's human nature to feel in control and to find ways to remedy that worry. Now, we're all familiar with Matthew 14 when Jesus walked on the water. In that same chapter, Peter's faith comes into question when Jesus commands him to get out of the boat and walk towards him. And Peter does just that. He gets out of the boat and he walks on the water towards Jesus. But what happens? So, Matthew 14, verses 30 through 32. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him, and said to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Instead of doubting Jesus, perhaps Peter should have kept rowing, and the storm would have subsided sooner. But Jesus did save Peter, just as he saved us. So why does our desire to stay in control overwhelm our ability to trust? As much as we try, we can't control the chaos in the world around us. This is in God's control only. True contentment might be found by focusing on these three things from Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 9. Praying, thinking, and living right, as the scriptures tell us. Verse 6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate, which means think, on these things. The things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. So right praying, right thinking, and right living. Prayer eliminates worry. Good thoughts eliminate envy, hatred, and other such negativity. James 1, 5, 6 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Living right puts into action that which we feel in our heart. That is contentment. That should be our goal. And there's a difference between actual concerns and unfounded worries. If we have a concern about a serious problem or threat, then we should put that matter into perspective and develop a plan of action. Paul was concerned for the progress of the gospel and the states of the individual churches during his time, and even lost sleep in this, as we read in 2 Corinthians 11:27. Worry and anxiety are the result of taking a problem and overthinking it. And then rather putting that problem into perspective, we act on our fears. Think about all the panic buying that took place during the pandemic, all the empty store shelves, because too many people were acting on their fears. It does no good to worry, church. In Matthew 6:27, Jesus said, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? And the answer to this question is you can't. None of us want to live a life controlled by fear and anxiety. The problem with worry is that it controls you. It will stop you from being productive in all aspects of your life, mentally, physically, and most importantly, spiritually. And it takes away from what we should be focused on as Christians. Now, I think it's important to stay well informed of accurate news and events of the day, but there are times where we need to disconnect and unplug ourselves from the root cause of anxiety. Do a reset or a cleanse of your mind. Don't watch or listen or read the news. Get off Facebook, TikTok, Snapchat, Twitter, or any other form of social media that tends to turn an otherwise normal person into a zombie. Stop focusing on things that we know are the causes of our worries, be it work, family, friends, money, sickness, politics, or any other things that add stress to your life. I'm not saying never to use social media. I'm saying don't let it be a controlling factor in your life. Paul reminds us in Philippians 4:4 that as Christians, we should always remember to rejoice in the Lord, not in the things of this world. Paul was a prisoner in Rome when he wrote those words, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. He was going to be put on trial soon, and he didn't know the outcome, but he didn't waste any time worrying about it. He did quite the opposite by commanding the brethren at Philippi to be anxious in nothing and to pray. When are we to rejoice in the Lord? We are always to rejoice, no matter the circumstances. If you're sick, if you're healthy, if you're rich, if you're poor, if you have a crummy job, a good job, no job, we are to rejoice in the Lord. Celebrate our relationship with God each day, every day, for the good things in our lives. The writer of Amazing Grace, John Newton, is also quoted as saying the following. Sometimes I compare the troubles which we have to undergo in the course of a year to a great bundle of sticks, far too large to lift. But God does not require us to carry the whole bundle at once. He mercifully unties the bundle and gives us one stick that we are to carry today, and then another that we are to carry tomorrow, and so on. We might easily manage it if we would take only the burden appointed for each new day. But we choose to increase our troubles by carrying yesterday's stick over again today and by adding tomorrow's burden to our load before we are required to bear it. Anxiety and worry are born from natural and legitimate concerns that are part of this crazy life that we live in. Legitimate concerns that are not dealt with properly can become dominating concerns in our life and lead to fear. They move us into a life of constant worry and concern over a future we cannot control. They ruin our perspective on life and cause us to forget that God exists and does care. Jesus deals with anxiety by calling to us an awareness of God. God does exist and he does care. He's aware of our needs and is committed to meet our needs. Remaining aware of God frees us from the storms of life. It enables us to focus our lives on our relationship with God and go on living a righteous and productive life. In Matthew 6, verses 25 through 34, Jesus said, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on and what you put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. For they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they?" Well, the birds seem to have figured this out. They just go about their business, doing what they were made to be and do, and the Father feeds them. And it was watching the birds outside his recording studio that inspired Bob Marley to write that song, Three Little Birds. So as God does for the birds, likewise, he will feed us as we do what we were made to do. Verse 27 says, "Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature?" As discussed earlier, cannot. Worry is pointless. You may know the expression that says worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it won't get you anywhere. So, in verse 28, he says, "Why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things." So worry is unnecessary, because God knows our needs and tells us that worrying shows a lack of faith. Verse 33 says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." So, do not worry about tomorrow, and don't live in the past. Trying to fix the past is like trying to put toothpaste back in the tube. We need to prepare for tomorrow by fulfilling our obligations for today. Philippians 3:13-14 tells us to forget the past. "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." So, perhaps the best way to summarize the lesson is to discover the true secret of life might be to go back to the scripture from this lesson, Philippians 4:11-13. "Now that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am in to be content. I know how to be abased, which means humble, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." That verse right there is very popular and for good reason. Lean on God, gain strength from God, have faith in God, and you can do so much more than you thought possible. We all have the ability to reduce our anxiety, but we need to have a proper understanding of God, learn who God is, and what he can do for us. Remember what God has done for us in the past and what he can still do for us today. I found this story that was shared by a a preacher very relatable. So this man had been on a long flight. The first warning of the approaching problems came when the fasten your seatbelt sign came on. And after a while, the stewardess announced they would not be serving beverages because they were going to be expecting some turbulence. So please be sure your seatbelt is fastened. As you looked around the aircraft, it became obvious that many of the passengers were becoming apprehensive. Later, the voice of the stewardess said, "We are so sorry. We are unable to serve the meal at this time. The turbulence is still ahead of us." Then the storm broke. Ominous cracks of thunder could be heard even above the roar of the engines. Lightning lit up the darkening skies, and with moments, that airplane was tossed around like a cork in the ocean waves. One moment, the airplane was lifted on terrific currents of air. The next, it dropped as if it were about to crash. The man confessed that he shared the same discomfort and fear of those around him. He said, "As I looked around the plane, I could see that nearly all the passengers were upset and alarmed. Some were praying. The future seemed ominous, and many were wondering if they would make it through the storm. And suddenly, I saw a little girl. Apparently, the storm meant nothing to her. She had tucked her feet beneath her as she sat on her seat. She was reading a book, and everything within her small world was calm and orderly. Sometimes she closed her eyes, then she would read again. Then she would straighten her legs, but worry and fear were not in her world. When the plane was being buffeted by the terrible storm, when it lurched this way and that, and as it rose and fell with frightening severity, when all the adults were scared half to death, that marvelous child was completely composed and unafraid." The man could hardly believe his eyes. It was not surprising, therefore, that when the plane finally reached its destination, and all the passengers were hurrying to disembark, the minister lingered to speak to the girl whom he had watched for such a long time. Having commented about the storm and the behavior of the plane, he asked why she had not been afraid. The child replied, "Because my daddy's the pilot and he's taking me home." Now, it's easy to compare the turbulence on a plane ride with the storms of our own everyday life. We have all experienced these times. None of us are free from worry or anxiety. None of us. So I know all of us would much rather have our feet planted firmly on the ground than being tossed about. So forget your worries, because our Father in heaven is our pilot, and he too will take us home. In order to find the peace of God, we, like Paul, need to lean on and put all our trust in God. This peace comes from the belief and knowledge that Jesus sacrificed his life for our sins. So, for those of you who are not Christians, there is opportunity now to come forward and become a child of God. You've heard the word. You need to believe the word. Repent of your sins and confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and be baptized for remission of your sins. If you're already a member of the church, or you have stumbled, or need the prayers of the congregation, please come forward while together we stand and sing.
In thy field I would you, single, brave, and true, in the fight for the right I would dare and do. Send my days in my grace, all the journey through, let me live close to thee each day. Let me live close to thee. Guide me all along the way. Let me live close to thee. Let me walk close to thee each day. Not the crown nor renown that the world might seek, I would work never shirk, blessed Lord, for thee. But to know where I go, that my soul is free, let me live close to thee each day. Let me live close to thee. Guide me all along the way. Let me live close to thee. Let me walk flow to thee each day. Help me bear and to share some poor pilgrim's lot. Be my friend to the end of the toilsome road. I would sing to my King in the souls of hope. Let me live close to thee each day. Let me live close to thee. Guide me all along the way. Let me live close to thee. Let me walk close to thee each day.